Come on. I'm going out tonight. I'm feeling all right. Gonna let it all hang out. Wanna make some noise. Really raise my voice. Yeah, I wanna scream and shout. No inhibitions, make no conditions. Get a little out of line. I ain't gonna act politically correct. I only wanna have a good time.
That's how it used to be.
I love it to take that long.
I could hear you laughing in the background. And I'm like, remember when that's how it used to work?
That's kind of how it did used to work.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't really all that confusing, was it?
No. You know, it's funny. I grew up in the 80s and the 90s, right? And so there was like, you know, all these big hair bands.
Yeah.
A lot of the guys wore makeup, and David Bowie wore platform heels, and you know, and no one for a second thought that they weren't men.
No,
one for a second was confused, right? About
yeah.
What are these, right? No one. It was all gender bending, and it was fun, you know, to break the gender norms, right? But no one was confused. Like, is that a woman or a man? No one. Everyone knew.
Well, look at all the different bands we listen to, and you look at some of those guys. You're like, I don't know what's going on there, but I'm sure my dad would have freaked out if he would have known what they looked like.
Right?
He already didn't like the music. Thank God they couldn't see him. Would have been like, okay, that's out. We're not listening to that anymore. But, yeah, all of a sudden now we're forced to play along that this is all okay. And honestly, I don't know. I mean, there's no way that girls are going to, you know, it's funny. Don't you remember, well, I don't know, I guess I was a kid a little bit before you, but when I was a kid, I remember in high school, there were girls who tried to get on the boys' football team. That was kind of a thing. Every now and then, there'd be some girl like, oh, I can be on the wrestling team, or I can be on the football team. It's like, no, you mostly can't. Like, a couple of times, they let them go to tryouts, they got clobbered, and that was the end of that. But the boys on the girls' team, they beat them pretty much every time, and there's no consideration given to that. And the scholarship folks and all that, it isn't like they're just playing around at the elementary school level. This is all the way up.
It actually is. And, you know, you mentioned earlier about Title IX. You know, that was in 1972, set of regulations that came out after the passage of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. And I don't know if you know this, but in the original writing of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, after lots and lots of agitation, right, by black leaders like Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, women were not included in that. They were not included in the 64 Civil Rights Act. And it's interesting, a very sexist senator from Virginia had this brilliant idea of add women to the damn act and it'll fail. Congress will never vote for this thing.
Yeah.
They'll never pass. That's how we squeaked in. That's how we got in, and what started women on the path to equality in the United States, which is pretty cool history, but it's very recent, right? Like, this is very recent history, and as we have seen, it can be easily undone. All you got to do is rewrite a few regulations, and you just knock women right out of their own sport, right? Again, it didn't hit the men, because you're right. The girls aren't going to try for the, you know, the basketball competition because they're not as tall.
Well, even if they did, they lose, right? That's why it was so great. What was I, 11, I guess, when they came out with Title IX? So I wasn't even, I was still going to school where, you know, the playground was a parking lot. it was paved. You know, we didn't have actual sports. But when I got to junior high, we had actual sports, and that was all very new. Girls being able to have their own everything. And,
oh, yeah, by the time I got to Georgia Tech in the 90s, right, they had a full-on girls swimming team that I got on, and that didn't exist before, you know. So, like, there were these opportunities that opened up for girls to compete, for girls to learn from doing sports, you know, and even the most powerful female athletes. I mean, Serena Williams, who's got to be possibly the most powerful female athlete, you know, basically said, I don't want to play against a man. That's an entirely different game. You know, it's just everything's different, and all the physiology is different. So you're right. You know, I remember when, I think her name was Danica Patrick, right? She started race car driving, and it was cool to be a lady driver, you know, out there, you know, doing that. I mean, I remember those kind of things, but they were the exception, not the norm. And so, yeah, men's locker rooms didn't get invaded, you know, as a rule. They didn't have to deal with the girl on their team. And even if they did, man, she was easy to knock off, right? I mean, and she didn't get in the boxing ring, you know, with the men, because, again, there's no physical matching there. And so this was, I think, you remember how we said authoritarianism is bad no matter who's doing it, right? The progressive authoritarianism was basically don't believe your eyes, that's the girl, right? Don't believe that just because he's got a penis between his legs, that's the girl.
And you must recognize that, because that's the thing now. They have to, is it in England where they have to call him she?
Oh, my dear, we have got to do some catching up.
Yeah, that, it is England though, right?
Yeah, I would like to remind everyone on this radio show that we did go to war with England, and my parents are British, so, you know, I'm a bit torn here in loyalty, but we did go to war as Americans with the British, and one of the reasons we went to war is no freedom of speech. If you said the king was mad as a hatter, you got hanged for it, right? England still does not have freedom of speech. So, yes, if they're mandated in court to call their rapist a she and tell everybody that she was raped by her penis, right, they have to do that. They can't object. They can't fight it. Now, you would think to yourself, with First Amendment rights in this country, that's not going to happen. You can't compel thought here. The Supreme Court will not allow it, right? They'll strike down anything that does try to compel thought. Well, 2 weeks ago in California, we listened in on the hearing for Tremaine Carroll's trial setting. Tremaine Carroll transferred in as a giant male in 2021 to the women's prison up north in Chowchilla, where he proceeded to rape women in that facility. The district attorney, Sally Marino, who's a kick-ass woman of Madera County, is bringing charges against him. The attorney leading the case is Eric G. Temple. He'd be a good one to have on your show, as would she. And the California court judge, Kathleen Rigby, ruled 2 weeks ago that Mr. G. Temple, the district attorney, absolutely has to refer to Tremaine Carroll as a she, her, during this trial. I couldn't believe it. It is actually happening
crazy
in the United States now.
So we're doing it, too.
Yes, we are.
Now,
I believe Mr. DeTemple, the DA, has some appeal rule, you know, room here. I believe that, you know, he could go further with his appeals than he has. But, you know, this would be a free speech test, right? Now, I believe that certain things might apply to a public servant and a public office, you know, that where they can be compelled by the court to speak a certain way. But are we going to compel the witnesses and the people who were raped, the women who were raped, are we going to compel them to refer to Mr. Carroll as a she as well? And the judge did not give a clear answer on this.
And is, I mean, is it, it's a crime. I mean, is it considered a crime?
To have raped a woman in a woman's prison? Yes.
Okay, so we're not pretending that it's not, that it didn't happen or it's not a crime. We're actually, it's actually being prosecuted as a crime?
It is. They have the DA has brought two charges of rape, and when I talked to her, she said, I got a solidly provable case, Sharon. I said, I'm really happy to hear that. But even she is, like, stunned that, you know, the judge would rule this way. Now, this is a California judge, because rape is a state crime, right? So this, we're in a California court system here. We're not in a U.S. court system. But you probably have become aware of Representative Nancy Mace, who has suddenly become a TERF, and I will give you a quick test. How to know if you're a TERF. So, do you believe that men are women?
Yeah, no. Bill, you have to answer too.
No. No, I'm pretty clear on that.
That would make you a trans exclusionary radical feminist. In other words, you do not include trans women in your feminism because they're men.
What an idiot!
How crazy is that?
right? Your entire listening audience is now TERFs, right? So you're all TERFs. And I would say the British TERFs have been so damn fierce in fighting this. They have fought it in court, in employment law. They are fighting it like tooth and nail. And I honestly thought they were going to turn the corner until Keir Starmer became their prime minister. And now they're all getting knocked backwards, something fierce. With the American election, we do have a chance of turning this, at least at the federal level.
Yeah.
But, of course, laws are made at the state level. And so you may see blue states like California actually double down and go in even worse than they were going before.
Well, and it's funny because who would have thought being a feminist meant, I mean, no one was more surprised than I was when we first started talking a while back, that being a feminist now means you think women are like actually people who grew up as girls and turned into grown-up girls, and they're called women, and they don't,
yeah,
and they don't have penises. I mean, that's the definition of feminism now. I mean, it used to be like you had to hate men and you had to like all this other stuff.
You're
right?
So close-minded.
I,
gosh,
right?
And now it's kind of like, wait, so you went to biology in freshman year and you got a passing grade?
Yeah, see, radical feminists are radical, and this term doesn't mean like what people called it in the 60s is radical.
Right.
It means more like root feminism, and the root of feminism is women are women and men are not. I mean, that is that. So that's what gets you like trans exclusionary radical feminists, that you will not put trans women in your feminism because you know that they are men. And that, so that makes you all radical feminists, damn it. Who knew?
Isn't that crazy? Because, yeah, I was kind of laughing. I called our show today, let's take the T out of Winty Winty 5, so, you know, 2025. because it's like, we got to get the T off this thing. I mean, I remember when you first told us, you know, like lesbians are lesbians because they want to sleep with women, and men are gay, and women are never gay, only men are gay, and they want to speak with men or sleep with men because they know what men are, and then bisexuals just want to sleep with everybody, and then all of a sudden you have men dressing as women who want to sleep with women, but they're still men, so really they're not different. They're just dressing.
Well, the whole idea that they've recognized this as a real thing is mind-boggling. Let me ask you this. The feller that raped these women in prison, is he still in the women's prison?
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask that, too.
Isn't that interesting that, and again, I'll tell you a little about that law, but basically after he was caught raping those two women, he was sent back to the men's facility in Kern County.
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh,
wow, that's amazing.
Obviously, somebody was a complete bigot.
Somebody was a complete bigot. And the way Senate Bill 132, I went and looked in depth at that law, the way that it was written, all you have to do is say you feel like a woman. That's your qualifier.
Oh.
Now, the state prison really can't turn you down as a man if you want to come in. They really cannot turn you down. And I've heard from female inmates in the South Hill facility that the men transferring in aren't even bothering to pretend to be transgender. They're not putting on any makeup. They're like full MAs with tattoos and everything, right? Like they're just full on men. They're not even pretending to try to be women. But they're telling the prison staff that they are women, and the prison staff has a narrow ability to turn somebody down. Now, Tremaine Carroll had been convicted for a sex offense before. You would think that that would be the primary criteria for turning someone down. It is not. And the inmate gets something like 8 chances of appealing if he gets turned down. So let's say he gets turned down. He gets like 8 rounds of appeal where he can continue to try to press his case and come up with new stuff. And so the prison has very limited ability under this law. And Scott Wiener wrote it deliberately that way. The prison Department of Corrections of California has very little ability to turn someone down.
So this was a Scott Wiener bill?
Of course.
And so, you know, let's just we'll just swerve into the political lane for 5 seconds. So for all those people out there that are like, Nancy Pelosi's horrible, I can't believe she's still in office, you better be really excited that she ran again and got elected, because Scott Wiener is the heir apparent to that seat. So
yes, he's the devil.
Yeah.
He is terrible with housing. He is terrible with the transgender stuff. He lowered the age of consent so that men could have sex with boys and not be prosecuted. He is the devil. He is absolutely the devil in California, and people just do not see it.
I think these women that were raped in prison should have some pretty good grounds for a lawsuit against the state of California for putting them in that position to begin with. And maybe if they did sue the state of California and win some big awards, they would think twice before they put a man in a woman's prison again. Do you think that's ever going to happen?
Well, let's cliffhanger that one. Let's take a really quick break because that's going to be a longer answer. We're going to come back and find out about that because, honestly, Bill, just a little spoiler alert, Bill was just using common sense right there. So,
hey, don't out me.
So we're going to have to take a break so we can all ponder that. Since it's in short supply these days. You are listening to We the People. Our guest is Sharon Byrne, and we will be right back with you at wethepeopleradio.us.
TSVMCG.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space. Out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch, but it wasn't because I didn't know enough, I just knew too much.
There's your British mind bender for you, Sharon.
I worked that in there. That's right. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Some band called Blur, B-L-U-R. I had to look at the like, you know, the words. I'm like, they're doing what?
You know, I actually think I used to like them, and I loved that song.
Well, I'm happy I could find that for you. So, back to the
lawsuit for state of California. I would pay to see that happen. They need to sue him. That's just nuts.
Wow.
He's thinking absolutely logically, and we have filed such a lawsuit against the state on behalf of four female inmates.
Nice.
The lawsuit is called Chandler versus McComber, and last July, our suit came forward in the, we filed it in the California Eastern District Federal Court, and the judge, a female, sounding very much like Rigby, dismissed our lawsuit and said that our fears of rape were overstated.
Ugh.
And she did that on the Tuesday in July, and on the Friday, I was at Tremaine Carroll's opening hearing, charged with two counts of rape inside the women's facility. The judge, when she dismissed our lawsuit, also granted, even though the state had not asked for it, she granted the state and the California Department of Corrections immunity from future lawsuits. So we've refiled. We've refiled, and we have new plaintiffs, and we welcome all support for that lawsuit because, yes, we would very much like to get this awful law overturned. And protect the women that are in prison. We've got a wonderful friend you should have her on your show one day. It's Amy Ichikawa. She runs Woman to Woman. She helps us interface a lot with the inmates. She's a former inmate herself, and she has started Woman to Woman as a nonprofit to work with females in the criminal justice system. And it is interesting when I talk to people who work with prisoners, they say that when you rehabilitate men in prison, you know, you really are trying to teach them to find a way to not use violence as your first route to problem solving, right? Like, you know, you need to learn diplomacy. You need to learn to talk. You know, you need to learn other routes than violence. When you're rehabilitating women, what you're teaching them to do is establish borders and boundaries, because typically what got them into the criminal justice system is they got violated enough. They got abused enough. They got trafficked enough, whatever that happened to them, where they couldn't say no, they couldn't defend themselves, they couldn't establish proper boundaries. And finally they lash out, and that's what gets them criminally justice involved. And so what you have to do with women is you have to train them on how to take care of themselves, put themselves first, establish proper boundaries, learn to say no. You know, it's a very different rehabilitation. So the idea that you would then stick a man, particularly one who's convicted of sexual offenses, in a prison with women, and by the way, he's not the only one. They put Dana Rivers also in the women's prison, and Dana Rivers murdered a lesbian couple and their son.
Oh.
And he's in there too, right?
Is so, he pretending to be a woman too?
He is.
Huh?
And so, okay. it is absolutely heinous. This was a big scandal in the UK too. I'm sure you know. Scotland was really famous for this crap. And, you know, had put in a guy, you know, that pretended to, as soon as he got arrested, basically declared himself a woman. Because, again, their law is, the law is called self-ID. And it basically is, you just ID that way. You just identify that way.
Huh.
And then you are. Then you are. So I identify as President of the United States. I would like for you to acknowledge me as President of the United States. Under the law, I'm entitled to have my identity. And you have to respect it. That's basically the way these self-ID laws work.
That's just, I mean, that's just crazy. And there are, okay, so how many instances of women wanting to be on the men's, in the men's prison? Because they think that
almost,
they're men.
Yeah, like none.
Like zero.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For an obvious, again, you're not seeing this happen. The men's spaces are not the ones getting infringed. And some men who are very grumpy about feminism say, well, there are no men's spaces left. Well, I don't know. You still have your own gym locker room. You still have your own boys' bathroom. Typically, especially in California, when they start turning bathrooms all gender, guess which one they pick to be all gender?
It's always the girls.
Yeah, the women's
right?
room.
There's always the men's room. There's always the men's room. But the women's room is now everybody and their brother, right? Why? And it's because women are always expected to accommodate. The trans movement relied on that. They relied on women's natural, you know, kind of inclination to be inclusive and to, you know, be kind and to be accommodating. They actually relied on it and then ran roughshod over it, right? They're like, you will bow down and accept us. So it's interesting. I'm reading a thing from X right now, and it's a guy who applied to work at Claire's. Do you know what Claire's is?
Claire's a
is that the place in the mall that sells like headbands and jewelry and stuff?
That's the one, right?
Oh, okay.
Market is teen girls, right? That, you know, they want all these 8 gazillion little accessories, right? So there's like racks and racks of necklaces and earrings and all, you know, it's all girls accessories, but their target market is teens. And so this guy is so pissed off. He's in Britain and he's so mad, and he said he went for a job interview at Claire's, but he got turned down because of his gender identity. And the woman who was going to hire him said, oh, you know, we didn't realize you weren't a woman. And he said, well, I identify as a woman. And she said, yeah, you know, no hard feelings, but we're going to go with someone else. And he said, I'm already having a hard enough time finding jobs. So I was really hoping I get this one because it would be a really cool spot to work at, you know, but this place is clearly transphobic. That's what they do.
Yeah, that's the ace card right there. That'll get you the job.
Yeah.
Well, and this is how you always know that they're men, because when you tell them no, they throw a freaking hissy fit. Right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because girls quit having tantrums a long time ago because it's unbecoming.
Yes, but men love throwing mantrums when you say no, especially when it's a woman who says no. Right? They throw an absolute mantrum, which is like, yep, there it is, you're a man. That's all we needed to know.
Oh, my God.
That is just terrifying.
It is. And, you know, I was thinking about circling back to the women's sports issue for a second.
Mm-hmm.
You should go look at C1.org, and it will show you all the medals that were taken from women, from men competing in women's sports. They've kept track of them all around the world, and it's really hideous to look at. I mean, it's just hideous that, you know, people say, well, it's just one-off, and, you know, getting rid of the trans kid isn't going to make your daughter come in, you know, more than 12th place. And it's like, no, no, she'd be in 11th, and she wouldn't have to compete against that. But basically, 742 female athletes lost out on 1,000 medals to men in women's sports. And it's all across the country, all across the country. But it's also in, you know, other countries as well. But the predominant place where it happens is here.
See, and I guess another thing is I don't understand how a man can feel good about winning a medal that he got competing against women.
Yeah.
And then, you know, holding up his medal like, oh, I'm such an achiever. No. No, you're not. And I just can't believe people aren't just rising up and stopping this. It's insane.
It's really, again, it's a fragmented kind of landscape, which is part of the problem. You know, like I said, I've seen some dads showing up at school board meetings mad about this now. I've seen some young women at school board meetings asking school administrators, like, this has been happening a lot down in L.A., right? So, like, the Riverside Unified School District has really been caught in turmoil over this. They've had a couple of attacks in the girls' bathrooms. There's the two girls decided to wear Save Women's Sports, you know, shirts to school. They got dress-coded, sent home. You know, and this has, like, caused a furor, and they're upset because there's a male on the track team with them that's pretending to be a girl. The girls at San Jose State University are suing the NCAA, right, because they're letting this male player on the damn team, right, and he could spike way harder than everybody else and causes physical injuries. And I'm with you. I don't get where the pride is in this for the men, but I've also seen it in an event in England called Park Run that is for women. And there are now men LARPing in there wearing sports bras and winning every damn weekend. And Park Run is not doing a thing to stop it. You know, nothing, because they're terrified that if they do, because that's the other thing, in some communities, if you do push back on this kind of thing, you get swarmed, right? The trained activists will come and swarm you. They will. There was a women's shelter in the UK that declined to admit men pretending to be women. And their whole building was defaced, and dead rats were thrown up on their doorstep, and their funding was stripped.
Yikes.
So the penalties for this, you know, in some places are quite high. You know, there's a bookseller in Ohio that just does not believe in this crap, and her store has been regularly defaced. She's had bricks thrown through the windows. You know, people have written horrible reviews about her online just to make sure people don't go there. You know, so you can, the penalty for this can be quite socially steep. You know, depending where you are. Then in the United States, you can lose your job. One of the rewrites, again, we didn't, this would have been an interesting talk to have with somebody from your area that's got, like, chamber, you know, background, right? Chamber of Commerce background. One of the rewrites the Biden administration did this year, and I don't think they've withdrawn it, was they rewrote Title VII. So Title VII is what covers employment law in the United States. And some of the rewrites were so awful. I mean, they were things like, you now have to let men into the women's bathrooms at work. You cannot keep them out. And if one of your employees has posted something on social media that's, you know, basically anti-transgender, the transgender employee in your workplace can now declare a hostile work environment. You could be fined by the EEOC. Even if the employee that posted it wasn't referring to that transgender employee or even your business. So the business owner now has to police his employees.
On their free time.
Media. Yeah, and his customers, by the way, because if his customers misgender, you know, someone... well, that can get you an EEOC fine, too. So this was an unreasonable expectation to put, particularly on the small, you know, the big guys, they're going to have their own, like, DEI department that's going to arm them to the teeth for this, right? But what is the little 50-person business going to do, right? Like, they don't have access to that kind
of resources. Well, how do you control what your customers say?
You can't, but the EEOC rules say that you must. So, I mean, this was really egregious. Really, as soon as I saw it, I called a bunch of the chambers of commerce that I know, right? And was like, have you read this? You know, do you know what it's going to do, you know, to some of your small businesses? And they were horrified, but they didn't know how to fight it. So that one, that update in the Biden administration, I'm confident, you know, that it will get undone in the Trump administration. But unlike the Title IX, it hasn't yet been withdrawn by the Biden administration. And it also had a ton of comments, particularly from small business owners, who are like, what the hell am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Even 10 attorneys general from 10 different states weighed in on it, said you cannot ask businesses to police their customer speech. You can't.
No.
You know, and the EEOC said, yes, we can, and we will, and you can be fined. So, I mean, we really went very authoritarian on this. And I think it was terrible. It was bad thinking anyway. But to double down and go so authoritarian on it was just awful. And to, you know, really punish business owners. So, you know, during the election, the Trump campaign team ran, you know, ads highlighting this kind of garbage in the swing states heavily. We wouldn't have seen such ads in California because they didn't place them in this market. but they place them heavily in, like, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, right? You know, like the true battleground states. And I do think it had a deciding effect. I do think it did.
Yeah.
You know, particularly in the states that swing, right? Because states like Virginia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, you know, they have flipped before, right? And so, and sometimes they have divided governments where the, you know, governor's Democrat and the legislature is Republican, right? And I think they worked. I mean, I think they really worked to wake up kind of a common person to, what is this garbage, right? And why are we doing this? So it was very effective, I think, in this campaign cycle. And I'm in a way, I'm glad they did it. My worries are that, as with too much progressivism, if you go in the opposite direction, you could go too far there too, right? So that's there's some concern there because Project 2025, which everybody says, oh, no, he's not using that. Well, they're already talking about a few things that are in the Project 2025 playbook, so don't underestimate that. But one of the things it wants to do is eradicate LGB completely. And I don't think you can do that.
I don't think they'll be able to do that. But when you start getting into things like, I mean, policing the speech of your customers that come in and holding businesses accountable for that, cutting body parts off of small children without some of their parent, you know, one of the parents being involved, letting people be victimized, you know, in prison or other, well, especially prison, you think about it, like girls' locker rooms, not a fan of being victimized there at all. However, you don't have to go in the girls' locker room. I mean, you're not made to go in there necessarily.
Yeah.
You are for gym and stuff like that, if they still do that. But prison, you're trapped. Like, you're trapped.
You literally have nowhere to go.
No.
You literally go to get away from somebody like this. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think prison was an egregious human rights abuse.
That's just crazy. You're trapped in there. I mean, that'd be like having predators as guards, and you have no standards for those people. They can do whatever they want to the prisoners. I think we went through that phase at some point, and I think they still do that in foreign countries, which is why we don't go there and commit crimes. I think Turkish prisons still have the bad rap of... isn't that the one we all fear? But...
You know, ours aren't much better, though. I don't know if you remember this, but in July, I think it was March of this year, a federal judge ordered the shutdown of the Dublin Federal Women's Prison here in California because they could not stop the guard rape gang that was going on. They could not stop it. They'd been trying repeatedly and couldn't get it done. So they actually shut the damn prison down and relocated all those women to other prisons.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't stop the guards from the rape gang.
Well, and like up here in Northern California, you don't have enough guards to have a gang because there aren't enough. I mean, you've got one guy for every 128 inmates in a wing. And at some points in time when they're out in, quote, recreation, so they could be inside, outside, both inside and outside, all over the place, 600 guys and one correctional officer.
Yeah.
Agreed. And, you know, circling back, you know, I was remembering that, you know, the 90s was kind of this zenith of women's rights. It was the Beijing Declaration that women's rights are human rights. And, you know, it was just an amazing time. And a lot of that work has been undone. It's been very disheartening. As a feminist, a lot of times people would say, well, you're a feminist, so you must just hate the right. And it's like, well, I'm not thrilled, you know, with the idea of criminalizing women for reproductive choices. But we're also getting very strongly assaulted from the left. You know, when the left will just say, no, I'm sorry, men are now women and you have to accept them and center them in your feminism. When you can't define what a woman is, you can't defend their rights. So this is really problematic for a lot of us of like, oh, my God, we have, like, no friends, right? I mean, you know, this is, you know, this is, like, the worst of the world of, you know, if you, how do you stop an American Taliban from happening if you can't define women? There's no rights for those creatures, right? So, like, that is terrifying. So for us, you know, it's been very upsetting, you know, where, again, like you and I both have mentioned, you know, when I was in my 20s and early 30s, women's rights was just common and accepted, and it was just not even it was a no-brainer. I mean, did we end rape? No. You know, there was a few things I would have liked to have gotten rid of that we didn't. But, you know, now we've actually gone very far backwards, and part of the rampant misogyny that you see coming up in a lot of places is actually coming out of this transgenderism movement. And well, it is really quite terrifying.
Well, the Lierre Keith, for people who are interested in kind of the background on some of this, we've done some other shows, and there's a tab on the website that says transgender. I would go listen to some of that because, honestly, people who were solidly on the, you know, the progressive team, if you will, are heavily victimized by these folks who now have taken it all too far. And anybody who says, wait, I think that might be too far, well, now you are demonized because it's gone crazy. And we have to take a little break. But I have found a fun song about craziness from our past that you'll enjoy. So welcome to a little Joni Mitchell. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Nice job, Bill.
Thanks.
My analyst told me that I was right out of my head. The way he described it, he said I'd be better dead than alive. I didn't listen to his jive. I knew all along that he was all wrong, and I knew that he thought I was crazy, but I'm not, don't know. My analyst told me that I was right out of my head. He said I'd need treatment, but I'm not that easily led. He said I was the type that was most inclined when out of his sight to be out of my mind. And he thought I was nuts, no more ifs, or ands, or buts. They say as a child I appeared a little bit wild with all my crazy ideas, but I knew what was happening. I knew I was a genius. What's so strange when you know that you're a wizard at three? I knew that this was meant to be.
Ow! Who said I see walking in these woods? Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want.
Listen to me,
Little Red Riding Hood. I don't think.
Yeah, we can use that for the part of the movie about the prisons. So Sharon, do you think this year will be a bit of a turning point? Because it kind of feels like people have sort of hit the wall on it.
I do. And, you know, I actually see some opportunities in this year about which I'm really grateful. And from a high-level perspective on feminism, I will tell you one of the opportunities, which you'd be laughing like, really? In a conservative administration, you see opportunities. I do. One of the opportunities I see is scourge that I would love to see ended, in which California is the largest offender by far, and that is human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the President, Trump, was very strong in his first term on this and signed some legislation around it, so I would like to make inroads to that, because as long as we have the ability to sell people, and particularly women, into sexual slavery, we are not free. And so I would like very much to see that ended, so I see an opportunity there. I see an opportunity also to make headway on porn. And this is interesting. There could be a whole show about this, Aaron, I swear. We should call up some of these women to do it. I'm meeting a lot of Republican female legislators in various states, and it's interesting to see them taking the front lines of women's rights. But they are doing it in a way that would maybe be unexpected. And one of the ways is that they have passed age verification legislation, which I helped pass it as well with them, in 17 different states. And one of those is now under a Supreme Court challenge to be heard January 15th, and it's Texas's law. And this is not a crazy law. This basically says if you're going to go look at porn, I mean, any 11-year-old with an iPad right now could go look at any rape video, human trafficking video, sexual assault, child assault video, and no one will verify his age. The tech platforms will not do it. One of the worst offenders of this is Pornhub, and they have hundreds of rape videos up, and police have called them and said, please take them down. And, you know, we're trying to actually prosecute this case, and they might take it down. I think they got one guy in customer support that might take it down. And then it appears five times somewhere else, right? So, like, porn has really gone into a dimension of horror. And, you know, these age verification laws require you to prove that you're 18 before accessing the content. So I don't know what the Supreme Court's going to do with this. I don't know if they're going to overturn it or if they're going to say, nope, the state of Texas has a vested interest in protecting minors. It's within its constitutional rights to do this. And, you know, porn is not protected speech that, you know, any 11-year-old should be able to see, right? So we'll see. I mean, there are some opportunities I see. And mostly what I'm seeing is Republican women in the state legislatures carrying these bills, which I find interesting. That this is a breed I've not seen this many of before. And there just haven't been this many of them elected, I don't think, you know, in Republican legislatures. And They tend to be rugged, tough, more Gen X-y. And, you know, they are pretty much holding the line is what I would call it on women's rights. Nancy Mace in the U.S. House of Representatives is similarly, you know, passing quite, she's looking to propose a lot of legislation to stop this kind of stuff in the U.S. federal women's prisons, right, in Title IX and other things. So, you know, we're looking at her as a very solid ally for 2025. And then I do think that, you know, Trump pledged on the campaign trail, and I hope he sticks to it, to just stop the surgeries and the procedures on the minors that, you know, okay, if you're an adult and you want to go butcher yourself, okay, whatever. But, you know, if you're a minor, man, you know, this isn't like getting a new pair of shoes and deciding you don't like them and trading them in for a different pair of shoes, right? Like, this is really very dangerous kind of stuff, and I'm not even going to call it medicine, right? These are just for-profit, you know, medicalization, and unfortunately some insurance companies are being forced to pay for it, right? But they don't provide detransition coverage. Isn't that interesting? You know, so you can go one way, but you can't get out of it. So, you know, I do see some opportunities in 2025 to really turn some of this around. There are some things happening in some of the state legislatures that frighten me. Wyoming floated a bill to try to make it a felony for a woman to leave her husband and no-fault divorce. And, you know, Texas and Oklahoma both tried to float bills to surveil women. And I don't like any of that. You know, to me, that sounds very, that's not, again, I told you, authoritarianism is not good, no matter who's doing it, right? It's not good.
No, it's always bad. And, you know, but it kind of cracks me up because the left was always such big, you know, they were always such big pals with the ACLU and all that, and it was all about, you know, protected speech and all of that. And now it seems like they're constantly on the wrong team.
I think that's been the shock for a lot of you know, there are a lot of progressives that do end up at the Women's Liberation Front's door. And they are usually, you know, full of PTSD, war-torn, and really upset of, like, why, when did my party turn on me, right? Like, when did my party become the party of hating women, you know, instead of protecting our rights, right? And so I agree with you on that. I think that is part of, we're watching parties who used to have the plot firmly in hand, and they've lost their minds. And the ACLU is one of them. They have absolutely lost their minds. They've stopped defending civil liberties, and they are on the trans train, as is the National Organization for Women, as is Planned Parenthood. I mean, people and organizations that we would have thought would have traditionally had women's backs. I have a friend that runs the Planned Parenthood here in Santa Barbara County, and I talked to her and I said, you know, I can't believe you're sending me mail asking me for donations and you won't use the word woman one time. You're referring to us as people with a capacity for pregnancy.
Are you kidding?
People who chest feed.
Do they really do that?
They really did. They said people who chest feed, people who menstruate. Who would those people be, right? Like, there's only one people that does that.
Yeah, right.
But they were so afraid of not being seen as inclusive. I dealt with an abortion provider in New Mexico, and they introduced themselves as, you know, she, hers. And I said, well, you know, since we're, you know, in a private session here, I'm just going to tell you right now, we don't believe in that crap. You know, you don't have to justify your trans inclusivity to us. We are here in the fight for women's rights, and so that is not what we're up to here. And there was this kind of pregnant pause, you know, and they all...
Can you even have a pregnant pause anymore?
Right? You know, they sucked in their breath, and then they said, you know, Sharon, they want us to take the word woman out of our name. Who are we if we are not helping women? And they won't let us use the word in our name. And I was like, then you have to stand your ground. You have to stand your ground.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So there's been a lot of that where the players have lost some of the respectable words. You know who's another one that I used to really be a big fan of was Amnesty International. And those stupid idiots put up a Twitter post basically saying, you know, women in Afghanistan are losing their rights because they identify as women. Oh, what? Like, you think the Taliban would let them identify as something else and keep all their rights?
What?
Have you lost your mind?
That doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't make sense, right? So it just is... It's so twisted and so warped, and it just shows you the power of, you know, sort of taken from the Maoist playbook, right, of how you can just warp people's minds and make them speak untruth. It also makes me feel like the zombie movies got it all wrong. These are not the, you know, undead that come and eat your flesh. These are people who have vacated their minds.
Yeah.
They're not in there.
Yeah, they've convinced themselves that these things make sense, even though they don't. Yeah, and then you victimize everybody. You know, you tell them that you're going to come after you. So if you guys aren't the Women's Liberation Front, what are you going to be? The They Liberation Front? Do you get to be they?
Right? I mean, just to show you how awful it has gotten, back in 2017, I will admit, I was one of those people who was very depressed that Trump was going to take the White House. And so I watched the inauguration. I made my daughter get out of bed, who was similarly upset, and watch the inauguration. She's like, why did you make me do this? And I said, because it was a transfer of power in the most powerful country in the United States, part of history. You have to be present. You can't just pretend it's not happening. And then the next day we got in the car and we went down to L.A. and we joined the Women's March. And it turned out to be a beautiful day, and the women were lovely. The men that were there supporting them were lovely. Nobody burned any cars. Nobody, you know, bricked out any windows. Nothing bad happened. It was a very nice day. Then we realized that women around the world had done it. We didn't know that. We didn't realize that on the way to Los Angeles. But and it turned out the one in L.A. was the biggest one in the world. It was 750,000 people. It was amazing. And, you know, this year, the Women's March will be held on January 18th, prior to the inauguration, which will be on January 20th. And they have renamed it to the People's March.
Yep.
It will no longer be the Women's March. It will now be the People's March. And that's sad, because there's International Women's Day is there for a reason. It is that when women get upset, as they have done for over a century now, and they go out and they march, really big things happen. You know, really big changes can happen. And so to strip that and make it now the ubiquitous People's March of anybody with a grievance against Trump just show up, it just loses all of that.
The funny part is they have a higher likelihood of getting their rights back under Trump than they, I mean, they lost all of them under Biden. And these guys were just erasing them one by one by one. Look at the weird luggage stealer with the lipstick, the guy... Sam, what's his face with the?
Oh yeah, steals the women's clothing and then
he's the nuclear,
poses for pictures with them.
Nuclear waste guy,
brain trust,
and then Dick Levine, who lobbied the world body on transgender surgeries, WPATH. Right, he lobbied them to remove any age restrictions for surgery recommendations for minors, so that he could then pitch their recommendations as the way we should do things in this country. And he's an address all day.
Yeah,
I mean it's just.
Thank God he'll be out of a job here shortly, I'm sure.
Exactly, right? I mean, there were more than a few times during the Biden administration when we at Women's Liberation Front turned to each other and said, I have never felt as a woman so victimized by my own damn country.
Yeah.
I can't believe this is happening, right? So I am glad to see the sun set on that era.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, in a weird way, I think that the sports thing is pretty... the sports thing, I think, will be ultimately a useful catalyst because that hits such a cross-section of people, and it allows the dads to get involved, and it doesn't involve, you know, doesn't involve sex. I mean, we're not talking about a bunch of medical stuff. We're just talking about fairness.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's the step too far. I think
that's
going to be the one that people say enough's enough, and it's going to... crash the whole thing. I hope, but I think there will be some big changes after January 20th on this whole front.
I do too. I just my concern that the states that were already hurtling down this path are now going to double down is not abated. You know, I mean, Nancy Mace is introducing a bill to ban men and women's prisons at the federal level, but it would only apply to federal prisons. It doesn't get us out of our problem in California.
Well,
I
hope people go. When does your case? Because I was just on your website, and Chandler versus McCumber is right there under legal cases. So if anybody wants to look, it's womensliberationfront.org, and you can just pop on there and look. So it isn't just a, you know, Sharon just doesn't talk about it. She's actually doing stuff.
Amen, sister. And I will tell you that Tremaine Carroll's trial will get underway in January, and we will be there. And we will be protesting, of course, but we have a lot of Northern California supporters that come over to the Madera County Courthouse to help us with that protest, but we want to send a message loud and freaking clear. You know, we put up billboards on Highway 99 to alert Californians that, did you know they're putting the men in the women's prisons and they are raping the women? And we've gotten quite a bit of feedback on that. So, you know, we will not be stopping.
The good part is women's crime is gonna plummet, because anybody who's facing any time in jail, in any kind of prison, has got to be rethinking. Sharon, we have to run away. It's been lovely chatting with you. We will do it again soon. I already sent you an email about all the new people you're going to send to us.
Yep. So thanks for coming on, Sharon.
Our guest has been Sharon Byrne. We've been chatting with her on WeThePeopleRadio.us.